Well, Tom Jackson. I'm looking forward to this. Now at an age, I like this bio too. I'm going to read this. Now at an age when most are pulling back. I don't think that's true anymore. 69-year-olds are not pulling back. There's no way.
With bionics, it's amazing what people can do.
Bionics. The man barely alive. The 69-year-old Tom Jackson is barreling towards the busiest and most glittering chapter in his towering 40-plus year run. The forefront of contemporary film, TV, and music, his remarkable career includes countless marquee TV roles on hit TV shows like North of 60, Shining Time Station, Star Trek, The Next Generation, Law and Order, Little Mosque on the Prairie, Street Legal, and Relic Hunter. Again, Relic Hunter. What was my connection with that again? Oh, Tia Carrera.
And movie with Brian
Tia
Brown.
Tia Carrera and I were in a movie. I wasn't in the movie. I was a stunt schmuck. What was it called? Dog Boys.
Yeah.
It was filmed. We were riding through the bush north of Stouffville, I think.
Which is not quite
and
north
I was
of 60,
stunt double for... What?
Which is not quite north of 60,
no.
But it's north.
I was a stunt double for Brian. Brian Brown, mate.
Ozzy.
Who else? Dean Cain, Superman. Where was I? I got caught talking about myself, oddly enough. His big screen appearances include a forthcoming thriller opposite Liam Neeson.
Ooh.
Okay, we're stopping right there. We're gonna go right to Tom in this one. Tom, come on. Just stop teasing us, man. What's going on with this Liam Neeson stuff?
It's an amazing little chapter in my life. Liam is an awesome guy. But he and his crew, not sure it was his crew, but a crew came out to Alberta, where I live, and wanted to shoot a movie. Go figure. And they needed an Indian guy in this movie. Go figure. That's me. They needed a guy that was 6'5". That was me. And they said, okay, we'll do that, but you can't sing. I said, okay, deal. What do you want me to do now? He said, act. I said, okay, what do I do? He said, action. And I started talking, and I got the job, and here I am.
Well done. Well done. Well, as far as I can tell, Liam Neeson has a particular set of skills. And you have a very particular set of skills as well. Is there anything... I asked another guest earlier in the show the same question because they were so talented. Is there anything you don't do? Is there anything you actually are horrible at? Because you sing, you dance, you act, you do voiceovers. Like, your voice should be the voice on the transit system in Vancouver instead of... what was his name again? The voice of God that they just said he can't
Morgan?
Do it. Morgan Freeman. You've got an incredible resonance in your voice, Tom. What
well,
don't you do? What do you suck at?
I don't really swim well.
Okay.
Water is not my thing.
Right.
So don't ask me to go on a boat. None of those cruise things for me.
No. Ooh. Yeah, I'm not a fan of those either. Are you still living just north of Calgary?
I am. I just live out of town. But I have a really, I'll tell you a really interesting piece of my world that not many people know.
Ooh.
And I have recently been indoctrinated with an organization called the DOPE Team. And DOPE Team stands for Downtown Outreach Addictions Partnership. And what the DOPE Team does, what I do now, and I'm on a regular shift. As a matter of fact, I'm on a shift today, this half hour, to do this interview, but that's what's fresh on my mind. And you have, I think you have a tune that we sent you called One More Candle. So if you'd be so kind at some place to spin that. But let me just tell you this whole story.
Yeah.
Is at one point in my life, I was living in a hole in the ground downtown Toronto. And that would have been about 31 years ago. And I found somebody who, for whatever reason, the creator sent me somebody to help him. And I did, and not much. I didn't do much, but it changed my life. And from that point to this point, this part is known. From that point to this point, I became a vampire of love and decided I needed to find ways to help others. Now, that sounds holier than thou. What it was, really, was to help organizations, other organizations that did hands-on work with homeless people in Canada. Okay, that said, I now do regular shifts with the DOPE Team. And where I wasn't skilled before, which was not being able to be in the trenches to actually help people hands-on, I would defer to others. And that was great. But now I've come full circle. and I'm having the time of my life. I've come to a point in my life as I don't know how life can get better than being out on the street and literally taking people in crisis and putting them into safe places. And I don't care what your problem is. If you've got a problem and you call me, I can promise you that I can help you. That's a little known secret that a lot of people don't know. And I wanted to share that with you because it's so present in my world. Hmm. And there's a word called compassion, which I never totally, I mean, I thought I understood it, but I didn't. And the people that I'm working with taught me what compassion is. Compassion is a verb. It's like love is a word, but it's a better verb.
Yeah.
And what these people that I'm blessed to be working with have taught me has totally changed my life. I didn't think that at 69 an old dog could learn new tricks, but I found a new way to love people.
Well, that's really kind of a strange, bizarre thing because, you know, you're this guy who was inducted as an officer of Order of Canada 2000, received the 2007 Juno Humanitarian Award and the Governor General's Performing Arts Award for Lifetime Artistic Achievement, as well as the 2007 Gemini Humanitarian Award. You're getting all this attention for being a nice guy, and the nice guys that I know hate that kind of attention. And now you're leaning more and more into this, you know, actual heartbeat of humanity stuff. And I want to know, how do you do it? Because I've gone through a stretch of time lately, Tom, and it's been hard to like human beings. Have you ever... Wow, I just made myself sound like a real jerk. Have you ever... Well, when was the last time you had just sort of a dark season of really not giving a holy grunt about anyone?
I can't quite remember if I've had one of those in the last 30 years.
Wow.
But let me tell you a secret, Drew. When the next time you get that moment, close your eyes for 5 seconds. And when you open your eyes, go and do something for somebody. I promise you, you will never be the same.
Okay. Okay. When you were living in the basement below your drug dealer, you say that the Creator sent you a couple of angels. Tell me about this Creator, because I thought I was so... I lived 30 years being certain that there was a Creator, and now I'm nowhere near as certain about anything anymore. Tell me about this Creator that you believe interacts with you.
Well, I define something by an action, and I found that although I'm not religious, I find that I am spiritual. I find that when I'm looking to try and better understand what a Creator is, I find myself better trying to understand what love is. And I think, leastwise for me, it becomes really apparent that if you want to fulfill what your destiny is, you have to look somewhere deep inside and start believing that you were put here for a reason. And if you believe that you were put here for a reason, you have to believe that somebody, something put you here.
Yeah.
And when you get a better understanding of that, your function, your destiny, becomes much clearer and much more achievable because you realize you're not here by yourself.
Hmm. Okay.
You're always trying to achieve it by yourself. You'll find that there's a lot of moments where you won't be able to find the strength to get from a day to a day from, you know, and then you got to struggle through that.
Yeah.
But when you realize you're not alone, when you got a friend that you can talk to, mm-hmm. you're doing okay.
Okay, look, I grew up with incredible parents who raised me in a love that was defined by action. You can relate to that, right?
I do.
But I ended up on the streets in Toronto for a very, very short period of time. You ended up on the streets for a long period of time. How the heck did two meatheads like us with great parents end up on the streets?
I think we decided we wanted to enjoy life. Like, I don't know about you, but I know that when I was on the street, I found a community there that cared about me, that I cared about, that it wasn't all about me, and it was, yeah, it was about appearance. Freud just jumped in there. It's not all about appearance. It has a lot to do, I believe, with how you define what you want your life to be at the time. See, I lived in a hole, but I dug that hole. I was the architect of that hole.
Yep.
I enjoyed that hole. I enjoyed doing drugs. I enjoyed drinking. I enjoyed the decadence. But I realized at some point there was something better. And when I realized that piece, I realized that it was longer lasting, it was cheap, it was easy to attain, and the high lasts forever. Hmm.
Your mom, if I get this right, was a Cree Christian? Is that right?
That's right.
So did her Jesus rub off on you?
I think my upbringing, by nature of us attending Roman Catholic Church, I actually had intended, before we moved to the city, to become a priest. That was my wannabe. And in her principles, I mean, the Bible is a great book if you follow it. But I find a lot of people don't really practice what's in the Bible. And I mean, you can find the, you don't have to look in the Bible, B-I-B, etc., to find the values that you know are right. You have those inherently with you, and you would have been taught this by your parents. You know inherently what's right and what's wrong. Hmm. And I don't know that Jesus or God or Gandhi taught me that, but my parents did.
Mm-hmm. You know, in my life with my spiritual struggles, I've had Romeo Dallaire on the show a couple of times. I'm sure you and he have crossed paths over the years.
We have, yeah. I like him.
Yeah, me too. I do. He seems like a very authentic guy. And, you know, that whole shake hands with the devil thing, my pursuit of spiritual good has been found wanting. Like spiritual, when I say spiritual good, I mean supernatural good. So I guess I haven't been convinced necessarily of supernatural good. So I said to Romeo Dallaire, I said, you know, maybe I should be going in search of supernatural evil. Because that was part of his journey as a Catholic guy. He was convinced that there was a God after he shook hands with the devil, after he felt that spiritual evil come out of the leader of the rebel tribe in Rwanda that was responsible for the death of almost a million people. This is a really long way of saying to Tom Jackson, have you ever experienced supernatural evil?
I have never been confronted by something that I would call supernatural evil.
No.
I've seen and felt that I was in the presence of people who had been or have been and continue to be oppressed and live in bigotry, live in misogyny, live in a lot of elements that I can find in a lot of various people that I've heard about. Mm-hmm. But I do believe in the bottom of my heart that those people will get through with belief and the faith and the compassion and the commitment of people like yourself who have a voice, who use it. We use it for positive change that influences others. That we don't have to change the whole world, I've said before. You only have to change yours.
Hmm. Well,
and the rest of the world will follow.
Yeah, that's the Gandhi stuff, right? The Gandhi stuff. It's a great way to say it. The Gandhi stuff. That's the be the change you want to see kind of thing. We're chatting with Tom Jackson, and, of course, Tom has just released a new album, The Essential Tom Jackson. It's a dazzling 2-disc, 21-track retrospective spotlighting Jackson's inimitable talent as a folk pop singer, songwriter. And, I'm surprised how many people don't, like, they associate you with television or with movies. But I've been listening to some of your music, man, and I got to say, you should throw that TV movie stuff out the window. You just stay with the music. You'll be fine, you know. You'll be okay, man.
That's a big compliment. Thanks, man.
Let's talk about the usual, typical interview questions when it comes to music. Who influenced you, right? I mean, I certainly hear a little bit of Johnny Cash in there, and I actually hear a little bit of Leonard Cohen in there. Who have been some of your influences?
I have three. One of them is Paul Simon. Hmm. One of them is Chris Christopherson. And the third is Sarah McLachlan.
Okay.
I think they're all brilliant poets who have a real skill in adding music to poetry.
Let's talk about, like, two old guys here, the music of today, the kids these days, what they're listening to. I don't get it, man. I've said, we just talked earlier in the show to my buddy Tim and I, we were talking about the 90s being like the worst decade in music, but he disagrees with me. I think the best decade of music was the 70s. Tom, what about you?
I think you're right. I think the mid-70s, say mid-60s to mid-70s, was the most prolific period of music and writing and change. And I never thought I'd see it again. I'm starting to see it now.
Interesting, really.
And I think that that's really, I mean, I have to say, if you watch or listen at all to news, you see change all the time on the globe, and you see it driven by the voices of younger people. And it's awesome.
Hmm.
It's like, I don't expect to see necessarily people wearing headbands and carrying beads and feathers, but there was a world at a time when I thought as an Indian, all these hippies were trying to become Indians because they were wearing beads and feathers and talking about peace, for crying out loud. It's happening again. Is that not awesome or what?
Yeah, it really is. So you grew up in Winnipeg. At what age did you leave Winnipeg?
I don't remember. I can tell you what year. How about that?
Well, didn't you move to Winnipeg in 63? Does that sound about right?
Yeah, I moved to Winnipeg in 63, and I pretty much lived there off and on for 35 years. So even at the time when I was living in Toronto, that was a 2-year stint. But basically, I was I still had my feet maybe somewhere else, but my heart's in Winnipeg.
Yeah. Well, the reason I bring that up is because there's someone sitting beside me here in the studio who's got a Winnipeg connection. Her name is Lorelei Backman. I don't know if that name rings any bells, but I think that name Backman had something to do with Winnipeg back in the 60s. Lorelei?
I think it still does.
Lorelei, Lorelei wasn't even born then.
I wasn't.
Lorelei, are you related to Randy?
I'm his daughter, yep. He speaks very highly of you, very highly of you.
Now, let me ask you a question, Lorelei.
Okay.
Are you writing or have an aspiration to write children's songs?
I do write children's music.
See, your dad contacted me, and I have to apologize. Your dad contacted me and asked me if I'd be interested in writing some children's songs, collaborating with you and with he.
Hold on a second. Can I? I want to get a finder's fee here. This is ridiculous. What's happening?
That's,
so what's...
I just saw, a picture, a short video of your dad performing with Beverly Mahood in Toronto during Music Week.
Yes.
Yeah.
Lorelei, I am not sure I was aware of this children's side of you. What have you done? What's your thing?
Well, I'm a published children's author, but I also write children's music and have had my music used for, TV shows and things like that. But my dad and I co-wrote together for Koba Entertainment a Strawberry Shortcake musical a few years back that toured the nation and, all that kind of stuff.
Look at her. She's so Canadian. Mm. She's just sitting here like, that's just sort of what I've done.
Yeah, good for you. I love it. That's great.
You've come across Mr. Randy Backman a couple of times, have you? Have you guys gone out and painted the town red in any evenings?
No.
No, because Randy doesn't actually do that.
We said he wouldn't be hanging with me.
No.
Not allowed.
No.
I met Randy several times and had broken bread with him, and I love being in his presence, and he's a great guy.
But now it's all about Alberta for you. Right? And you live just north of Calgary. Actually, Lorelei lives just... This is getting weird. Hold on a second. Lorelei lives just south of Calgary. What's it called again?
Lethbridge.
In Lethbridge.
Yeah.
So, I guess you guys will meet at a coffee shop someday in the future. You know, it's funny, my Alberta, the only Alberta story I have was Tim Conway. You remember him, of course.
Yeah.
Tom, you know, funny guy, with Carol Burnett show. He told me this story when he and Harvey Korman were filming, Don Knotts were filming Apple Dumpling Gang. I think it was filmed in Alberta. Yeah. And Tim Conway says that Don Knotts came up to him and said, you know what, Tim, they have to change into these tutus for this scene. And they're getting dressed in this trailer and it's freezing. He says, you know, Tim, I'm going to get a cold here. That's my best Don Knotts impersonation.
Excellent.
Thanks. And I keep getting changed in the tutu here. And Tim Conway says, well, why don't you change at the hotel and I'll pick you up and take you out there and it's all good to go. So they do this for a few days. And on the last day, they come back and it was a wrap that day, and he drops Don Knotts off, and he says, Tim says, I'm going to park the car, and I'm going to head into the pub and have a beer before I come up to the room. You know, they're sharing a room together. So Don says, you know, well, that's okay. I'll go up to the room, Tim. I sound bizarre. Anyway, next thing you know, Tim Conway's at the bar having a beer, tough, cowboy, spittoon kind of bar. Next thing you know, out of the corner of his eye, he sees Don Knotts walk in a tutu, into this bar, and says to Tim Conway, Tim, can I have the key to the room?
Yeah.
And Tim Conway says, don't you think we should talk about price first? Anyway. Tom, listen, I want to be an awkward white guy here for a second. This is a skill I have.
Nice.
The braid that you have on the back of your head, first of all, it seems really long. And is it something to do with indigenous stuff? Wow. Did I say that right, Tim?
You said the indigenous part, right?
Okay.
It does not, at least not by my intent. It is part of a time when I wanted to be a rock and roll guy like Randy. So I grew my hair long. And some girl named Allison said, I like your hair long. So I said, well, okay, but it's getting messy. Can you braid it? And she did. And I married that woman.
Nice. Well played. Do you ever let it flow and let it out? And, you know, when you're on your bicycle riding in the breeze?
No.
Nope, don't do that. the One Arrow Reserve, that's your hood, right?
Yep.
5,000 hectare? Is that about right? The size? I mean, it seems kind of a big place.
It seems like a big place, but it's just a little prick like me in the map.
Okay.
There's a lot of land here in this country, and I'll stand up and sing Old Canada because I'm part of it, but really the only part of it is that little prick. It's just like me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I've heard about.
Well, my brother, if he was singing Old Canada, he'd go, Oh Canada, your home's on native land.
Yeah.
Can you help? Okay, listen. Tom, I've got respect. I've got respect for you because you're a talented guy and you're a straight shooter and you're a funny guy and we all kind of know, everyone knows Tom Jackson in Canada. Good night. So let me ask you this. As an awkward 51-year-old white dude, I have found
let me straighten you out right away.
Yeah.
I'm not white and I'm not 51.
No, me. I'm talking about me.
Oh, okay.
Right. All right. So me, as an awkward 51-year-old white dude, I find myself stumbling. Are you okay? Are you getting arrested right now, Tom Jackson?
Hang on, I'm talking to Drew.
That was awesome.
Oh, man. I find myself stumbling through the conversation, right? You've used the word, I probably can't, Indian conversation or indigenous conversation, Aboriginal people conversation. I just feel like a dopey human being when it comes to this conversation. Can you give me some advice as to how to de-dope myself?
No.
Wow. Right under the bus. Right there.
sorry. You're on your own. I think you have to be at peace with yourself, right? Again, intent for me. Oh, they're coming to get me again. That was close.
Duck. Just duck.
You know, I think that intent has a lot to say, probably more than we have. Hmm. But if you're not meaning to be malicious, you only need to be polite. You know, I was with a group of kids in northern Saskatchewan last year, and kids are really brilliant. And I was up there with the Red Cross on an anti-bullying mission. We were talking to these kids, 300 kids in the gym. And there was a little boy and a little girl sitting at the front. As you went further back, the age range got older. A couple of guys at the back of the room with their arms crossed, leaning on one side. And we were talking a little bit about some of the things that might be evident in bullying. And this little girl says, and we're talking about superpowers, like superheroes. And the girl says, you know, Mr. Jackson, she says, you don't need to teach us kindness. You only need to be kind. And I said, oh, yeah? So what do you think the superhero of kindness is? The little boy sitting next to her whispered in her ear, he says, love. Out of the mouths of babes.
Yep.
So yeah. Everything, regardless of how you say it, your intent is everything.
Well said. I like that. Well, TomJackson.ca is the website. Tom's latest album, The Essential Tom Jackson, is something that needs to be gotten. So go get it. We're going to go out with one more track from Tom's latest album, The Essential Tom Jackson. Tom, before we say goodbye to you and let you have your life back again, tell me about your axes. Like, I know that Randy Bachman has, like, the most... Would you not, Lorelei, say your dad has the biggest collection of awesome guitars in the world? Come on. He's got to have at least one of the...
I don't know in the world, but he loves guitars.
Pretty amazing stuff. I mean, you and I, we saw the documentary that was just released at Hot Docs, and the guitars were unbelievable. So I'm kind of a big guitar. I have a 1976 Jumbo Guild myself. Tom, what are you playing?
Recently, and I will for a long time, play a guitar that was made in Turkey called a Stonebridge. It's a cedar top acoustic, and I bought it, I think it must have been 5 or 6 years ago, and it kind of, you know, I bought it because it was cool and I wanted a cedar top and I didn't have one. I picked it up less than a year ago. It was just sitting with my collection. And when I played it, I went, boy, what have I been missing? I've been missing something here. And now, maybe with the exception of one other guitar, I don't know that I've ever played an acoustic that was as well balanced and tone-wise and easy to play, never mind the mechanics of it. But it's called Stonebridge. If you ever get a chance to try one out, you should.
Okay, I'm gonna look it up because I was looking at a couple of videos where you were playing, admiring your playing. I've got a friend of mine named Tommy Emmanuel from Australia who's a bit of a freak show on guitar, and he's sort of that bar that, you know, that default of awesomeness, and I was really admiring your playing, you know, even your finger style, but I couldn't see the headstock, or I couldn't recognize the headstock of this guitar, so that must be the one made in Turkey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, might have been.
All right. Well, Tom, listen, appreciate your time. Thank you for joining us, and Lorelei, you guys can connect at another time and have nothing to do with me, if you don't mind.
I didn't know you lived in Alberta, Lorelei. That's awesome.
Yeah.
We should definitely get together. Track me if you want. You can track me through tomjackson.ca.
Okay.
And you'll find Allison, the great Allison. And then we'll get connected and meet in Calgary or Lethbridge or somewhere in between.
Wonderful. Sounds good.
Good stuff. All right, Tom. Have a great weekend, sir. Thank you very much.
I will. I'm going back to work. I'm going to work on the dope team. Bye.
Bye, Tom. That's what we should call ourselves, Tim. Hey?
The dope team?
Yeah.
You have to spell it differently.
Yeah, true.
Come up with a different explanation behind the acronym.
Totally true. Totally true.
Dumb.
That was such a weird connection that you guys had. So he does children's stuff? Children's music?
One of those shows that you mentioned is the Train Town.
Oh, Shining Time Station?
Yeah, I think that's a children's show.
Okay. Listen to that. He's got a real resonance in his voice, isn't he?
It'd be fun to have him and Liam just talking to each other with those voices.
Oh, man. Liam Neeson and Tom Jackson arguing with each other. I've got a certain set of skills. I've got a certain set of skills.
And they're both six-something.
Yeah, that's right. Big dudes.